Today's opening tip, NBA coaches no longer required to wear suits on the sidelines. Amin, how big a deal is this?
This is a huge deal for Stan Van Gundy. All that grassroots marketing and campaigning, trying to get people to change their minds about it. It finally worked, Stan. You did it. You did this, Stan. Congratulations.
Chanae, do you think it takes
Normally,
anything away?
Normally, we like them to be suited and booted.
I was going to say, does it take anything away or you like it?
No, I like this. I mean, usually you walk in for the fans to see your swag, but nah, this time around, let them just wear normal outfits.
I wonder if anyone's still going to wear a jacket if they don't have to. We'll see. We'll see what they have to do. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols alongside our front office insider, Amin Alhassan, and former number one overall pick in the WNBA draft. Chanae, you're even taller in the studio than usual. Chanae Agubuke. I love these
Always.
Big monitors. This is exciting. Coming up in a few moments, Trae Young is going to join the show. He's going to talk about the big moves the Hawks made this offseason. And he's got a very special announcement to share with us. Stick around for that. First, though, we begin today's show with the latest from Rockets training camp. As we have discussed here on The Jump, James Harden back in Houston and has begun COVID testing protocols so he can eventually participate in Rockets team practice. He was, of course, absent for the start of training camp in places like Atlanta for Lil Baby's birthday party, reportedly sighted around Las Vegas for his own party. I don't know. He's reported, of course, that he would like to be traded out of Houston to a, quote, contending team. Meanwhile, the Rockets have continued to make alterations to their roster. Of course, the huge trade for with Russell Westbrook going to Washington for John Wall, adding Boogie Cousins, adding Christian Wood. And Tillman Fertitta got on CNBC yesterday, the Rockets owner, and said, we've done nothing but gotten better in the offseason. So Chanae is an H-Town native. Do you buy Fertitta's comments?
Look,
that face is amazing,
probably,
my friend.
As I always say, from the 281, the 713, the 832, I always am proud to be Houston Texan. But when I heard those comments, I was a little shocked just because it seems like a smokescreen. Like there's smoke there, like cap. Like this is not the truth necessarily. And maybe this is what he wants us to be and say, oh my goodness, everything's going to be all right. But when there's smoke, right, a smokescreen, there's usually a fire. And it seems like the Rockets are on fire, not the best way. The way I see this really is just that you can't hide from the facts. You know, you do have someone that wants to be there in John Wall, who after injury is going to be on a mission to prove himself, especially with this contract. But overall, the Rockets, they've been moving the last few years with a walking bucket, James Harden, but they haven't been operating with the identity that they needed to find success that will keep him there, which is why he's looking elsewhere.
To be fair, Rachel, that longer conversation in that interview, he says a lot of the right things about how James is wants to win a championship and how Tillman hopes that it's going to be in Houston where they think they have a chance to do that. And that's all the good kind of cleanup talk you do. That's what you say in public. Behind closed doors, obviously, is a different story. But to say that this team got better, I mean, either you're delusional or you're just really bad at lying. Either way, that doesn't help. You don't need to go that far. He could have stopped at just, hey, we want to win a championship. James wants to win a championship. We'll get it done. But to say that out loud just indicates a complete unnecessary understanding of what's happening. When you think about trading Russell Westbrook, an all-NBA player, who you gave up 8 billion first-round picks to get a year later for a guy who hasn't played in 2 years, and you got one first-round pick for that in compensation. There's no way you could tell me that's an upgrade. Even if John Wall is the John Wall that we remember from 2 years ago, he's still not as good as Russell Westbrook is right now.
Chanae, we haven't had you on since the trade, Wall and Westbrook. As a Houston native, how do you feel?
Honestly, I'm emotionally numb. I'm rooting for John Wall. He, you know, as someone who has come back from injuries myself,
right.
I think a lot of times you have this mission to prove that you are just as good, if not better, than you were before. And I think he will have that motivation. And really, you know, given what he's gone through recently, a fresh start is good for him. But overall, for the organization, a lot of the moves, I feel like we're trying to just attach ourselves to value, not necessarily a mission or an identity. Because, like, for the last few years, we've been centered upon analytics and shooting more threes and going in isolation. But as a team sport where teams win through collaboration, that's sort of where we've let the numbers do the talking instead of the players. And I think that's all James has said. Like, I want a voice in how this thing moves forward. So it is frustrating to witness, but I do think John Wall still provides value in the NBA. We'll see how far he defies expectation.
And we'll see how long it takes him, right? We saw with Paul George, Gordon Hayward, guys who miss a significant amount of time, even if they can stay healthy through the next season when they come back. They're not quite always themselves right away, but John's had more time off than most. We'll have to see how that affects him. I want to get to the other side of the whole Rockets-Nets equation because Kevin Durant spoke to the media today, and he was, of course, asked about James Harden. Take a look at this.
We all know all these James Harden rumors are out there. And he's been your teammate in the past. What do you think about him and what he might bring if they were to trade for him?
I don't think about James Harden at all. I mean, he doesn't play on our team.
I mean, I don't think about him. I don't think about him. I mean, I just don't. Where's the best landing spot, Harden, then, long term? Do you think it is Brooklyn? Do you think it's Philadelphia? Or do you think it's best for him to stay in Houston?
Rachel, if I could, I want to go off the board, and I'm going to say Golden State is the best landing spot for him. Hear me out, right? One of the things that Houston wants in return is high-value assets. We know in the conversations with Brooklyn, while we love Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie's a solid player, Jared Allen's a nice big, those aren't high-value players the way that Houston wants in return. Golden State is one of the few locations in the league that can offer high-value assets and still give James Harden a realistic chance of winning a championship. Obviously, without Klay Thompson, that task is a little harder, but I think he fits in with what they would be building towards the future, and it would cost them, obviously, that Minnesota pick next year, very lightly protected. It would probably cost them James Wiseman, who, of course, they love and fits a need for them right now, but the ability to say Curry, Harden, Klay, Draymond as your top four, that's pretty hard to say no to if you're Golden State.
Look, I mean, I'm actually not mad at that, okay? I'm going to probably stick with something that was on the board, but when you talk about Golden State, I think people don't give Steph Curry too much accolades in this regard, in the sense that he's probably one of the most low-maintenance superstars. He had no problem taking more so a media backseat to Kevin Durant and letting him shine, knowing that he is unguardable at 7 feet and one of the best offensive players in the game. So I'm not mad at you, Amin. I will say, though, when it comes to James Harden, I think it's been clear that the Rockets, their many attempts to find a partner in crime for James Harden, like, that time has expired, unfortunately. And plus, with fairly new ownership, a new GM, he needs a partner in crime. And I think now that the Nets are like a no-go, or I forgot who it was. Like, I don't know that woman. Was it J-Lo?
Right.
I think stuff like Mariah Carey once said that to J-Lo. Right? That's the vibes that I get watching that. It was Mariah Carey. You know, seeing big picture here, I think the 76ers could be really interesting considering his former GM is there and Daryl Morey. Plus, you know, that gives him a good chance to win, contend. And I do like the idea of James Harden and Joel Embiid together, because Joel Embiid will give you, what, 23 and 12 in the paint. And James can give you 30 from the perimeter. Now, I know there will have to be a sweetener. I don't know if you can keep all the players in Philly, but I do see that working in Philly, James and Joel tag teaming. Even though Golden State, that was off the board. I'm not mad at it. I am looking at the 76ers and also Meek Mill's Instagram, since we're already talking musicians.
Absolutely. Well, there's that video clip of the woman giving like a deposition or something, and she's like, I do not know that man. I do not know that man. And that's what
Kiki
I heard today.
Palmer.
Right.
Sorry, this man.
It's Kiki Palmer. Yeah. Shout out to Kiki. But Rachel, I do want to point out something. You know, we mentioned Houston as a possibility. I think that thing is burnt. And this is very similar to what happened in Minnesota a few years ago, 2 years ago, however, 100 years ago now with this pandemic, with Jimmy Butler. And believe it or not, I think Jimmy and James Harden are doing the same exact thing. The difference is Jimmy's very confrontational, in-your-face style was to show up to practice, humiliate everybody, and then go do a sit-down interview with you afterwards, reiterating a desire to get traded. James is not confrontational like that. His way is to not show up, but then very publicly show why he's not showing up. It's not because he's working out at some gym somewhere. It's because he's going out and partying. He's making it clear to the Houston Rockets, who foolishly announced, we're prepared for things to get uncomfortable. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what uncomfortable looks like. And to be honest with you, Other than the whole global pandemic, being at a party with no masks thing, that's the only part I have a problem with. But people say this time and time again about NBA players. Oh, that's unprofessional. You should have showed up. You should have done this. No, because he professionally has to be traded weeks ago, and they did not follow through on it. So the next thing you do as an NBA player is you get their attention. And you get their attention by making things real uncomfortable, and that's what Harden did.
Well, yeah, but I'm not sure we can expect the franchise to make a bad trade. If a good trade hasn't been available for him, does he have the right to not show up to the beginning of training camp if they just decided, well, we're not going to make a bad trade, we're still looking?
I would say that you at this point, when you say that, you are taking that they're going in good faith trying to move him.
And players you don't
know
think
and
that
their
they
agents
are.
Know. Whether it's, obviously, he doesn't. It doesn't matter what I think. Right. He and his agent don't believe that the Rockets are trying their hardest.
I don't think he has a day-to-day agent right now, which may be part of all of the mechanics of this, too, because we all know how trades get baked in the NBA. We will, of course, continue to follow the situation very, very closely. And the bottom line is that James Harden has shown up. I want to make that clear. He's not out right now. He has shown up, and he is going through the COVID protocol. So he is not holding out in any way right now. Coming up, we will be talking to all-star point guard Trae Young, stopping by the Jump to share a very special announcement for all you sneakerheads out there. We are now thrilled to welcome in Hawks all-star Trae Young to the Jump. It is so nice to finally see you again. Welcome.
Yep. Nice to see you too, Rachel. It's been a long time.
I know, man. And we're just 2 weeks away, finally, from the start of the new season. How anxious are you to play a real game with, in your case, with your team, the first time in more than 9 months?
Yeah, it's been a long time. I'm super anxious to get back and playing. We got a lot of really, really good guys coming. A lot of new guys that we've added to our team. So being able to play with a lot of these new guys, but also with the guys we've had. So it's going to be exciting, and I'm excited to play.
And you said new guys. Your front office put in work this offseason. Bogdan Bogdanovic, Rajon Rondo, Danilo Gallinari. These were some really coveted free agents. What was your reaction when you found out all these guys were coming to Atlanta?
Yeah, I was super excited. I was super excited. We've added a bunch of guys that bring a lot of different unique talents to our team, and a lot of different pieces that are going to really help us take that next jump to the next level this year. So I'm really excited.
So what is that next jump to the next level for you? What are your expectations for the team and yourself this season?
I mean, for me, it's all about winning. I mean, whatever it is, it's winning, getting to the playoffs. But it's not just getting there. It's making noise once we get there. So it's all about that for me and this team this year, and we're excited to go out there and do it.
And look, it's going to be a different season than anyone in the NBA has ever had, going to play games largely without fans, travel restrictions, and the NBA has asked you guys to make changes in your own personal life off the court, at home. Can't go to bars, can't go to restaurants. You're 22 years old. What is it like to be told that when you're 22?
Yeah, it's different, but it's our job. This is our job. We choose to do this, and I know every NBA player would rather give up all the other stuff to be able to play this game we get to do. We'll be able to give it up for a little bit.
Well, that attitude is going to keep you and your teammates safe. I know they appreciate that. I did want to ask you, because this is very exciting for us here at the Jump. We would like to formally announce, Trae Young, that one of your childhood dreams is coming true. Adidas is releasing your first signature shoe in the fall of 2021. What is your reaction to that?
Yeah, I'm super excited. This is a dream come true for me. Dream as a kid, playing on those little goals in your room. Just putting on those shoes, just dreaming of being of that player. And for me to be able to have a partnership with Adidas and take that next step, and we're going into the Trae Young Ones in 2021. Now kids will be able to wear my shoes, so I'm excited.
How involved do you hope to be in the process of crafting the shoe?
For me, I'm very involved. I want I want this shoe to represent me. I want this shoe to represent who I am. This shoe is going to do that. And every kid that puts this shoe on, or every person who plays in this shoe, is going to feel the way I feel. So I'm very involved in this shoe.
I don't know. You want to be careful. I don't know if everyone who puts on the shoe is going to be able to shoot like you. You have to be careful not to make that promise. That is
maybe.
Well, it's very, I don't think people sometimes realize that a lot of guys have shoe sponsorships, but a signature shoe is still pretty rare in this league. So, Trey, congratulations. This is a huge accomplishment at 22 years old. Really very cool.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Can't wait for everybody to put it on.
We will be ready to welcome you back when you've got one to actually show us. Until then, good luck with everything in the preseason and training camp. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Coming up, Steph Curry says that retiring with the Golden State Warriors is a huge goal of his. But of course, there's always complications with that kind of thing. Amin and Chinne are coming back to discuss it. You're watching The Jump. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols here with Amin Alhassan, Chinne Ogumike. Chinne, you got a fellow Adidas friend with the signature shoe. I'm sorry, I'm just not over it. I think it's great.
I'm so mad right now. Okay, Trae Young, where's my text at? I'm supposed to be in the family. Shouldn't I have known? I'm putting everyone on a notice. Chris McGuire, Madison Orenstil, Adam Laitsis, Austin Hodges, Brandon Walker, y'all should have given me a courtesy text. At least I can be the first one to get the shoe. Okay, maybe I'll shoot like him too.
Rachel, now Shanae knows how I feel. Every time I'm saying, Shanae, might I possibly have a little bit of Adidas product? Get zero radio silence.
I got you, family.
Well, look, congratulations seriously to Trey. That is a huge accomplishment at 22 years old. Good for him. All right, friends, you know what time it is here on The
Crazy.
Jump. Let's go, producer Dan.
The ball deserves to go in the crowd after a bull move like that.
I think it's bull.
I just thought it was bull.
Don't give me that crap.
Oh, yes, BS or real talk. We give you the quotes. You tell us how true you think they are. Let's get started with two-time most valuable player, Stephen Curry. He says, quote, everything is on the table when it comes to extension talks with the Warriors. And here is what he said about his long, long-term plans. Take a listen.
We have conversations. I mean, everything's on the table right now. I know just in terms of everything I talked about being a Warrior and what the future holds. Obviously fully committed on what that is, and understanding that I got to do what's you know, right for me and the team and having those conversations. I feel blessed to be in that position where I can say that and truly believe it. So it's a matter of just letting things kind of play out the way that they should, and that's kind of where we're at right now.
All right, guys, so get your emojis ready. Is Curry saying he wants to retire a Warrior? BS or real talk? Emojis up. Let me see. What? All right, Amin, I would like you to explain your 100 and also, bonus question, how easy or hard is this going to be for him given the complexities of keeping a guy with one team his whole career?
Well, Rachel, you kind of blew the lead right there because what I was going to say was, I 100% believe that is his intention. That's what he wants to do. It's the only franchise he's known. But because we know how the NBA works, it's kind of BS. Nobody does this, right? Dirk, Kobe Bryant, Reggie Miller. Name one other person who's played 10-plus years with the same franchise and retired there. We can't name any because the way this league works is at some point, you are going to be a diminishing value for the franchise, and they will move on in order to secure a brighter future or else get dragged down with it. And the reality is Steph does have strong ties to the Charlotte area. I expect him one day to play for the Charlotte Hornets. So I believe him, but I don't think it's going to happen.
That can be true. That can be true, Amin. But you know what's really funny? You know, when I got to Stanford in 2010 as a basketball player and a student, that's when the Warriors really started turning around. And Steph Curry is synonymous with Golden State, especially with this new late success. And I feel like this is a team now currently constructed, and even for the years in the future, that has an opportunity to win as long as he steps on the court. And we're talking about how many years he's been in the league. He's already been, I know he has a baby face And we call him a babyface assassin, like Devin Booker too. But he's entering his 12th season, right? And he's the longest tenured player in the league still with his original team. Meaning he is the only guy, the longest guy, longest time with the team. I don't think he's gonna mess that up, maybe for Charlotte, but I can see him staying in Golden State for the whole time.
Well, and look, some of it is up to
Tim Duncan and Manu.
Well, some of it is up to the player, though. I mean, you mentioned Dirk, right? Okay, well, Dirk took a lot of pay cuts to stay with the Warriors. He worked with the team in terms of roster maneuvering, and he also decided it was more important for him to stay with Dirk, to stay with the Mavericks, than it was to maybe go chase a title somewhere else. There were years where they weren't good and he could have gone somewhere else, but instead he wanted to stay in Dallas. So part of this is going to be up to Steph, and part of it will just be difficult, but we'll see if he can do it. Steph Curry has pulled off the difficult plenty of times before. We'll keep talking about West Point guards, guys, because I want to move on to Dame Lillard. Much like Steph, Dame is known for his extended range, earning the nickname Logo Lillard for his frequent shots from more than 30 feet. But apparently, he's planning to extend his range even further this season. Here's what he said when asked if he would shoot from half court in a game this season. This was from The Athletic's Jason Quick. Quote, very possible. Obviously, I'm not just going to be out here every game firing every shot from half court, or maybe not even every 20 games. Might be once or twice the whole season that I feel like, F it. If I get in a game and I hit three threes in a row, that's when you should have your eyes open, because it might be going up from half court at that point. Dame says he's going to shoot half court, BS or real talk, guys. Emojis up. Let's see him. There we go. Chinee, give it to me.
All right, let me tell you this. Damian Lillard is going to shoot. Shooters shoot. And again, we saw this especially late in the playoffs when it came to the bubble making that push. They were double teaming him around the hash mark, even double teaming him as he crossed half court to force the ball out of his hands. And if he's made a few, he will shoot that shot. He walks into a gym, and I'm talking about, it could be Lifetime, it could be 24-hour fitness, it could be, you know, obviously wherever gym they're at in the NBA, the stadium, the arena, his mentality is that he can make any shot. And I remember hearing that Dame, he led the NBA last season with makes from 30 feet or longer.
Yep.
Now half court shots are 47 feet from the basket, 47 feet. He's working on it, and I'm telling you, if he is shooting it, he believes he can make it. And if he believes he can make it, he's going to take it in an NBA game.
Yeah, his percentage was highest over 30 attempts. Absolutely.
Yeah, Chinee, you're absolutely right. You know, the effect that it has on opposing defenses, it stretches everybody out, so it gives more space for the other four players on the court offensively. But the other thing is, he works on it. He's done it before. He's great at it. He does it all the time. That's what makes it allowable. And because of that, he has organizational support. Right? Anyone can say I'm gonna shoot from half court, but without organizational support, and that means your teammates, your coaches, everybody, you can't really do this in a game. Chinee, can you imagine pulling up from half court in the middle of the game, not letting anybody know?
Look, I got my sister on my squad. She's actually here in LA right now. I've got Derek Fisher, that's my friend. Derek Fisher is my coach with the LA Sparks. He would let me shoot it once, and then he'd pull me over and be like, Chinee, I'm serious here. And then I probably wouldn't shoot it again.
That's cute and all, but okay, we're in the middle of a game. Thank you very much. All right, guys, coming up on this show, after a perfect 8-0 run in the bubble and trading for Chris Paul, are the playoffs next stop for the Valley Boys? We will preview the Sun season next. Welcome back to The Jump. We are only 13 days away from the start of the 2020-2021 season, mostly 2021. Let's not kid ourselves. And you know what that means? The Jump's previously on segments are back. This is like when your favorite TV show returns from hiatus. They catch you up on everything that happened since the last time you saw them. And today we're taking it a step further. You know, our Phoenix Suns show within a show called The Sons of Anarchy. Oh, yes. It's a show that's been full of chaos for a lot of years, but now there are new writers, storylines, and a new leading man. It is time for Previously On, the Phoenix Suns.
Coach Monty built a culture in us during this bubble, just instilling, sharing the ball, playing for each other, and playing as a unit when stuff don't go our way.
I don't care what happens tonight. I know what I got in this room. It has been cool to be with y'all every day.
I will eat a whole big plate of crow because I said the Suns and the Wizards shouldn't be in the bubble.
Booker, this is for the win. Got it. Wow.
No one in the world would have believed that the Phoenix Suns were going to go 8-0.
You gained the respect of the league, OK? Okay, now we got to build on it.
Chris Paul is headed to the Suns via trade.
Chris Paul had a significant voice in this, wanted to go to Phoenix.
I've known Book for a long time, and, you know, like, he's a dog. You know what I mean? Like, he's really competitive. When we hoop and play against each other, we be about to fight.
But I'm really excited to see what CP3 does for Devin Booker and Aiden out there.
Chris Paul just wins. He wins everywhere he goes. He's one of the best clutch players in the league. He's a finisher. They're going to be good next year.
All right, so the cliffhanger for the Phoenix Suns, where we last left them, was, of course, that red-hot 8-0 run in the bubble, although they didn't qualify for the play-in tournament because they were playing in the Western Conference. Amin, was the bubble success a blip or a trend?
So we're talking about last year's Suns, not the one that has Chris Paul and Jay Crowder and Etuan Moore.
Well, are they going to continue that success?
Again, taking the new acquisitions out of this, just in the context of the returning group, I would say it's a blip. Yes, they were 8-0 in the bubble.
Why are you taking the new acquisitions out of it? Let them have their new acquisitions.
Because that's what I talked about with the producers before the show. Rachel, don't make this harder on me than it needs to be.
Live in the real world where they made the trade.
The same team that went 8-0 went 23-59 outside the bubble. You don't get to throw that away. But obviously with new additions means you can take some of the good things that they did and try to turn them into habits rather than something that just happened because they were all at camp for a couple of weeks.
So I feel like this is really, though, a trend because I'm going to live on Earth where the acquisitions will actually suit up this season.
Thank you, Tanae.
And this is more so like a testament, thank you, Rach, to how Devin Booker has improved. We started off with the bubble run, and in the bubble he averaged, 30 and about 6 assists on 50% shooting. They have a big three now. And they have players now that can really boost them coming in off the bench. I'm talking about Jay Crowder. You already have Dario Saric. So these guys really have improved. If you're going to put it on paper, this is what I wish for my Rockets, but we're talking about the Suns. They made acquisitions that actually translate to more points, and now I think they have a better shot this year.
Well, here are the Suns games that fans are going to want to binge watch in the first half of this season. The Suns face the Mavericks on December 23rd. That's their first game of the year, which you can see right here on ESPN. They also have a big matchup with Ja Morant and the Grizzlies on Martin Luther King Day. Janae, with CP3 in the fold, are there any chemistry concerns about fitting in with this young new team?
Oh, absolutely not. No concerns at all when it comes to chemistry. Just because he is a professional, everyone knows him as Mr. President in the NBA, PA Players Association. So I am not worried about that regard at all.
Well, I mean, we know that Chris is a total pro. I'm in no way saying that he would cause problems. I mean, more just, hey, when you throw new groups of guys together, sometimes it takes a minute, right?
Yeah, but not with Chris Paul. Everywhere he's gone, he's made his teams instantly better. And that's probably because you don't have to fit him into the offense or get him up to speed flow him in. He is the offense. The ball's going to be in his hands, and he's going to dictate who gets what, and he does it better than probably any other point guard in the league right now, and one of the best to ever do in history. So I don't expect there to be any chemistry issues because the ball's going to be in Chris Paul's hands, and he's going to make everybody better right off the bat.
There you go. All right, finally, it's time for spoiler alert. Let's get right into it. The Suns have not made the playoffs since 2010. So, Amin, do you have any bold predictions for them this season?
Yep, I believe that they are finally going to get their first playoff bonus check since I worked there. And they will be a top six seed. I don't even think they'll be in the play-in tournament, Rachel. That's how good Chris Paul is. That's how good of an acquisition Jay Crowder and Etuan Moore were.
Janae, what do you think? Do you think that the Suns are making the playoffs?
I think that it takes preparation, opportunity, and luck, and they were prepared, especially with the development, you know, going into the bubble now with more offensive-minded players, a deeper roster. I think that they have a good chance now. The West is absolutely loaded. We've got the LA teams. We've got Denver, Dallas, Utah, Golden State even. I know we're missing Klay Thompson, but this is one thing I love about your show. It's your producers and your Nuggets, and Schwartz sent me a really good nugget that Phoenix was 15 points per 100 possessions worse offensively with Booker off the floor last season than when he was on. And they went from being, you know, a top number two offense when he played, when he took some rest, they were far from that, like very at the bottom of the bunch. And so now you'll be able to provide a boost off the bench and have a deeper roster and have him out there and have a floor general in Chris Paul and have a nice pick and roll game, which is Lob City 2.0. So I feel like this is a team that can sneak their way. They're motivated. We saw that with less talent. Now they have more. They're motivated. I feel like they can sneak in a spot.
It's going to be so fascinating to see how the bottom half of those seedings work out and the play-in tournament this year and everything else. I cannot wait. And shout out, as you said, to our researcher, producer Schwartz, who is our long-suffering resident Phoenix Suns fan. He can tell you chapter and verse everything that has happened with that team. And he, like so many Phoenix fans, deserve just a little better this season. Hopefully they will get it. Coming up, Frank Vogel says it is, quote, probably unlikely that LeBron and AD will play in the Lakers preseason opener. I could use stronger language than that, but I won't. Should they play at all in the preseason? Stick around. You're watching The Jump. All right, guys, it's crunch time here on The Jump. Footage of Bol Bol flying around in Nuggets practice has surfaced. Amin, do you see him fitting into the Nuggets rotation this season?
Yes, Rachel, for two reasons. One is they lost their main backup big in Mason Plumlee to the Detroit Pistons this offseason. But two, overall, they lost a lot of good defensive players. This is a team that's really potent offensively, but is struggling to find defensive players. And Bol Bol has an opportunity to get a real shot at the rotation by being a rim protector and a defender out there.
Amin, I really appreciate your well-reasoned, well-thought-out take, and I'm not going to even do any of that because I'm from the Pac-12. I watched this man at Oregon. When I saw his highlights, I was like, this dude is special. I implore everyone to go see those highlights. His talent, his ability off the dribble, his shooting. And like you said, defensively, you can't teach height, you can't teach length and size. And so Bol Bol is just fun basketball to watch, and I'd love him to have an opportunity this year.
Certainly. It was fun in the bubble.
Janae, you know where you're from, right?
Oh, yes.
You know where you're from, right? Sudan.
Of course she knows. Come on. It was fun in the bubble watching him go, especially when they had a lighter roster because of COVID. All right, let's move on. Frank Vogel says it is probably unlikely. Guys, we got DeMar DeRozan here. Sorry, I got different information. The control room's giving me different information here. But DeMar DeRozan, apparently unhappy, I believe, from the cloud emoji and the poop emoji about his rating in the ESPN rank, which is usually, I don't have the copy in front of me, but usually the way ESPN rank works is they have a group of experts projecting how they see a player to do in the upcoming season. He was frustrated about being ranked 82nd. What do y'all think of that, Amin?
Rachel, you remember in Beverly Hills Cop, they said we're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe? Guess what? DeMar DeRozan, you just fell for the banana in the tailpipe. This is just content creation. Nobody believes in this stuff. Nobody cares. The only people who seem to care are players. I don't know why. Why do they care every year, Janae?
Because that's our pride. We want to see ourselves move up the ranks. But this was atrocious. This was blasphemy. And I would like to tell DeMar DeRozan right now, that wasn't me. I didn't do that. I'm pretty sure none of us did it on The Jump.
And I wouldn't
volunteer myself for that. But realistically, DeMar deserves some respect put on his name. And I think last year he was, what, like 22 points per game, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. He had a career year when it came to field goal percentage. So he is doing what he can to improve himself and make himself an asset, especially after leaving Toronto and now with San Antonio. But it's been really impressive to see him grow and mature and also stay on point when it was a tough scenario for him. So he deserves all of the love he's getting because that was a lot of slanderous on the rankings roster.
Let's move on then to the Lakers. As I was saying, Frank Vogel says it is probably unlikely Anthony Davis and LeBron James will be available for the Lakers preseason opener 1 week from today. I mean, should AD or LeBron play even a second of a preseason game?
Yeah, maybe the last one, maybe one, you know, two of them, not obviously spaced out, just a little bit, get the juices flowing, just remember what it's like to go up and down the court. Nothing too serious.
No, I can't go with that. I'm thinking that, you know, they don't play any at all. Two seconds, 3 seconds, too many. Just because these guys were dealing with, for the first time ever, such a short turnaround. And when we look at the Lakers, I mean, resting is going to be important, especially considering the new load management rules, where in those primetime games, they can't rest or else they'll deal with the NBA and potential fines. So I see this as a play it safe scenario. This is the first time we're dealing with this, and I feel like the stars will deliver once the games start, but this is just preseason.
All right, I want to get to back-to-back MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo. He is speaking to the media today, and here is what he said when asked about the state of his contract that has been of such conversation. Take a listen.
Right now, Eric, I'm not focusing on that. You know, I know my agent Alex and John Horst and the Bucks ownership are focusing in about those discussions, and I'm just trying to focus in myself, how I can get better, how I can help my teammates be better, how can we be ready Saturday to play our first preseason game.
Giannis, of course, has an offer for a Supermax sitting in front of him. He has until December 21st to sign it. If he doesn't sign it, it's not like he's asking for a trade. He has said he wants to stay with the Bucks through the season. He would have the opportunity, if he doesn't sign it by the time opening night happens, he could sign it next offseason, or he could become a free agent next offseason, which the Bucks certainly would like to avoid. Giannis also said it is not a title or bust situation for Milwaukee in his eyes this season. So, Amin, what's your reaction to all of that?
My reaction is if he had a strong desire to stay in Milwaukee, he'd sign the Supermax extension. Now, obviously, he's still got a couple of weeks before he has to make that decision. But the reality is no one in Milwaukee can feel good if he doesn't sign it by then. That doesn't mean it's all over, but clearly something has shaken his confidence in the situation for him not to take this enormous big bag of money right now.
Yeah, and I think Giannis, he really has shown just in that one instance, that one clip that we just got, sort of a masterclass in deflecting, and that's exactly what we want to do as athletes. When you're dealing with a potential contract situation, I mean, a lot of things are nuanced, and it's better to have your representatives talk for you and just focus on the basketball. And if I'm Giannis, especially with the way that they exited the playoffs and the bubble, I'm focusing on my game. We saw this with the start of, you know, after that whole period where they lost. He cleans social media. He takes a break. He recalibrates. He goes on vacation. I saw all those yacht pics and all that type of stuff. But he's still working and grinding. And so he's going to try to put himself in the best position to improve on basketball. And he'll leave everything else to the people that deserve to handle it.
Well, look, it's complicated, right? We know where he comes from. We know how hard his family had to work just to put food on the table. The idea of being able to sign a contract for $232 million, that is security for your entire family that cannot be matched. On the other hand, there is optionality with deciding to kick the can down the road for another season. And Giannis has said over and over how competitive he is, how much he wants to win. And it will be interesting to see if he believes that he can get that with the Bucks if he signs up for the long term. And I mean, I've heard some people say, oh, he should sign it, secure the bag now. And players are asking for trades all over the place. He wouldn't be able to ask for a trade for 2 years if he signed the Supermax deal before December 21st. But he could, I guess, then go to the Bucks in a couple years and say, get me out of here, the way James Harden has. But isn't the danger of that you're then the malcontent, right? You're then the one who's under the microscope the way James Harden is right now, and you don't get to pick where you would go.
I mean, star players tend to get to go where they want to go, right? No one ever gets traded to Siberia and somehow, like, we never heard from them again when you're that good. But the reality is, Rachel, the numbers are skewed because we keep assuming that if he doesn't sign it and he leaves in free agency, he'll sign a long-term deal somewhere else. And we know that's not the play. The play is to go short and then come back when you're a 10-plus-year vet and then make up some of that money, especially when we hope that the cap will have gone back up after all of this COVID stuff has blown over.
Yeah, and Giannis, I think he's playing this right in the sense that obviously we want his long-term security, especially as an athlete that puts their body on the line. You know, I'm speaking to someone who's been injured, sure. And so having that security really helps. But at the same time, when you think about Giannis and the Bucks, they did what he wanted. They sat down with him. They said you are the priority. They brought in a player by the name of Drew Holiday, who is one of the most underrated players in the NBA on both ends, defensively and offensively. So they've done what he's asked, and I think he's giving them time, and he's doing it respectfully.
Yeah, and you can see video of Giannis and Drew Holiday going at it in practice. How much of an impact do you expect Drew to make this season? I mean, for someone like Giannis, too, just opening up his game.
Look, he's a competitor,
I think the main thing, Rachel. Oh.
Go ahead, Amin.
Go ahead, Amin.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I think the main thing, Rachel, is to remember that, you know, he's a massive upgrade over Eric Bledsoe. And that's not to say Eric Bledsoe is not a good player. He's an all-defensive player. But Drew Holiday is a cut above defensively and obviously a cut above offensively. And that will bring some stability to that position.
Chennai, I know you agree.
Yeah, co-sign, retweet, everything Amin said. You got it.
Well, we'll hear more from Giannis, and we'll continue to discuss tomorrow. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Special shout-out to Trae Young. Congrats on the signature shoe. And Amin for the new artwork.